When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good morning and welcome to the Jaguars on SI podcast. This is episode 107. Who would have thunk it? Not us. But also, who would have thunk that the Jacksonville Jaguars would be staying in Jacksonville for another 30 years? Not a lot of national people. But we're here to talk about that, the big news of the week, the big news of the offseason, really. It's been quite the year in terms of deals getting signed and approved. What's up, John? How you doing?
I mean, I would just like to say us doing a podcast, they were the team to be relocated to London in everybody's eyes. Post us doing a podcast, they're here for the next 3 decades, and I don't have to worry about losing the job. I mean, there's a connection, you tell me, buddy.
I was honestly thinking earlier today, like, shout out to Shad Khan, like, for my personal benefit, because, like, I get to, like, have a job that I like here in town by my family rather than having to, like, figure something else out.
I would not have followed them.
No way.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's going good, man. It's been, honestly, an immensely busy offseason, which I really, you know, won't complain about. Like, there's so much downtime in between, like, the end of offseason workout programs and training camps. It's like 5 or 6 weeks of nothing. And, you know, roles like you and I have where we have to be, you know, creating some kind of content daily. Somebody asked me, they're like, is it anybody like yeah, I realized I put out some drivel just to put your guys' eyes somewhere, and somebody's like, isn't anybody qualified to do this? I'm, yeah, you are, you know. Nobody's stopping you. Don't enjoy it. with that said, this kind of offseason's perfect for it. No,
oh, absolutely. I'm excited about the topic we have next week, but yeah, in terms of this news, you mean.
Yeah, perfect. We have a topic next week, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's gonna be a good draft. I think we've got to do more draft segments rather than ranking segments. That'll be the key to the
last. That's fair. I recognize you recognizing your mistake in that last year. Yeah, you coordinated that, buddy. Just I went down in flames.
You and then like just having it be a popularity contest.
No, okay. You claiming I skew the results whenever we put up a poll?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's fair. That's pretty much. With that said, speaking of skewed results, Jaguars vote obviously went 14-1. It basically, like I said this on 1010 earlier today with Mike Dempsey and Pockets, but it basically seemed like Trevor Lawrence's deal was like the on-field version of the stadium deal. Like pretty much like smooth sailing, you know, no real roadblocks or adversity. Nobody I ever talked to, you know, on my own side of people, you know, I talked to who have some kind of role or tie to the organization ever really seemed worried about it, like, really at all. You know, like, nobody was going to guess the exact votes, but it never seemed something that was, like, in danger. Just like the Lawrence contract never seemed that much in danger of, you know, not happening. It really kind of seemed like it was always something that was going to happen. And yeah, but the specifics of the deal are obviously out there, but 30-year deal, you know, no relocation. They're obviously still going to have some kind of future in London. I think you can probably look at London differently now, and maybe it should have always looked at this, looked at this way, but I completely understand if you're like a local fan, especially, and losing a home game to London. That's, you know, kind of a, you know, a kick in the nads, but from the Jaguars' perspective, maybe, you know, London can even be partially a reason why this vote will even get passed in October, because, you know, with the shared revenue, it, like, owners basically care about how much money you and your team are bringing to the table, because everybody gets, you know, a cut of the pie. And NFL isn't like NBA or baseball in that aspect. So it actually matters what you're making as a team. And London is the Jaguars, you know, don't seem to be shying away from a future with it. And, you know, Shaq Khan said yesterday how big of a deal it was to really stabilize them over the last decade. Again, I understand being upset about those games, but in a lot of ways, you know, I think things like that, you know, moving forward, it's a way for the Jaguars to get, you know, more, I guess, respect around the league, you know, as a shared partner. You know, 10 years ago, 2011, 2012, 2013, I'd imagine Roger Goodell and most NFL owners were pretty indifferent on the Jaguars and or didn't know they really existed for the most part. What I'd say now, the Jaguars are at least a player, right?
Right. Absolutely. The news didn't really, like, it didn't hit me how big the news was until yesterday, really, and for two main reasons. And the first one is because of, like you were saying, how smooth the whole process was. Like, there was, didn't really seem like there was any hiccups. There wasn't really any, like, franticness along the way. It was kind of smooth sailing until we got to the date, and then it was approved as expected. And so, like, that's a really big deal, especially because Jacksonville was a small market team. It's not like this is New York City, and, like, it's like, oh, it's fair to assume that, like, the team is always going to stay and the team is always going to get a deal done to, like, make upgrades to their stadium. But like you said, the London impact or the London factor was a big factor in making sure that a small market team like Jacksonville was able to continue having a team.
Yeah, and it obviously wasn't a great public look. You know, everybody's calling you the team moving to London and you're playing a home game or you know, two back-to-back games there. Obviously not, you know, a great look, but, you know, I think moving forward, you know, what Shaq Khan said is that he was like, yeah, everybody can move on to something else now, okay, or something to that extent. Like, it's official, you know, any jabs can be had, but the Jaguars, for the first time in a long time, will never have to never have to hear those things again, but you never have to put any more merit into it. You know, that thought of them potentially leaving, no matter how great it might have been at its peak to however low it might have been during the Khan era, you know, it's officially gone. So it's obviously, I think, a worthy cause of celebration for fans, for the team. I think it's important, you know, the moves that they're making, giving out the two biggest contracts they've given to players and Josh Allen and Trevor Lawrence, the Miller Electric Center, the stadium. I mean, Khan said it yesterday, and I think it was one of the biggest things that he said, because he said it more than a few times, that more or less the standard on the field because of these investments on and off the field, the expectations have to be raised. And, you know, that nothing against, you know, anybody with the Jaguars in the Khan era, 12, 13 years, whatever it is, but expectations have rarely been high, right? Like, they've been high, what, twice? In the entire time he's been here? Am I wrong in saying that?
No, that's pretty much right. I feel like it was just a rebuilding process the whole time. And it was just like taking steps backward instead of taking steps forward. And then, like, all of a sudden in 2017, like, maybe they were expecting a little bit of a jump that season, but I doubt that anyone outside of the building, for sure, at least, wasn't thinking about it as, like, a playoff contender.
They were routinely picked as, like, a top five pick before the, like, 2017 season. Like, everybody thought, like, bringing Tom Coughlin and Doug Marone as head coach, a 1980s running back at number four overall, it was all seen as a genuinely terrible, you know, process and stuff. And Blake Bortles and Chad Henne had that entire quarterback competition in training camp where Blake Bortles even got benched for, like, a preseason game. It was bad vibes around that team. So I'd say only the team after 2017, people obviously expected them to, you know, make the playoffs again. And then last year, when the expectations were, I think, probably bigger than playoffs. Here's what Khan said, the exact quote. He said, "We're sitting in a state-of-the-art facility right here. We're going to have a state-of-the-art stadium. I mean, there's absolutely no freaking reason we shouldn't be competitive every game we go out. We expect to win." He dropped the freaking, man. When the freaking bomb gets dropped, the seats get hot. That's what the streets say. So I think that kind of says it all. Like, the expectation now, at least it came off to me from listening to Khan yesterday, because, again, he said that more than a few times, like, about winning, that I think he sees them as, okay, the investments have been made on and off the field. You must be a perennial playoff team. Like, not a perennial, like, 9-8 team, but, like, a perennial playoff team. Am I wrong in kind of gauging that's what it seems like his expectation is, which would make you think that this year, if they don't make the playoffs, like, there'd be some legitimate questions to ask.
No, absolutely. That's the expectation. And I laughed when you said the frickin' line, or when he said frickin', but like, I don't know. If you, the when he said that, that was in the room with the media that wasn't recorded visually, right? So we've got like written down quotes and transcribed quotes from that. But yeah, so you were in the room, and like you kind of told me before, like how like much like kind of like not fire and energy almost was like in that. It wasn't just like a,
it's a pep to step,
a dry statement. Yeah.
Yeah, he had some pep to step yesterday. Why wouldn't you? You know,
and he really has expectations. I just looked it up since the Jaguars since the Jaguars' inaugural season in 1995, they have the fifth most losses in the NFL behind the Lions, Raiders, Browns, and Cardinals. And so just to your point, like there's always been a pretty low expectation level. And so now, not just like with new faces and Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence, but like with the investments that Shad Khan himself personally has made with the money too, like now he's really expecting something.
They have to win minimum 10 games, right?
Yeah, I think like anything other than a division title is a failure. You're not going to win the division with nine or 10 wins.
Would a wild card spot be considered a good season?
I guess it would be considered like an acceptable season. Like a
wild card lose first round.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's getting fired from that, but I think everyone's like, I mean, obviously every team that doesn't win the Super Bowl is disappointed, but I think they'll like be pretty disappointed by making the playoffs but not really advancing.
All right. You're Shad Khan. You have generational wealth. You're not 12 like you are in your current state. What are you doing if they finish 8-9, miss the playoffs? Houston is everybody's favorite little pet still. What are you doing?
Having a sit-down meeting with Ryan Nielsen and seeing if he can sway me into taking charge of the building.
That's a Machiavellian answer, Gus.
I think it also depends a lot on play calling, because if Doug takes back play calling and then like there's a lot of injuries or like some like clearly like bad fumble luck and like just like games don't go their way and they like kind of sort of limp into the wild card, but there's like actually signs of improvement and they like kind of sort of finish the season on more of a positive note, like 2022, as opposed to such a sour note like last year, then I could see Khan being like, all right, like I'll give you another chance. But if Doug does not take back plays and then like they have anything worse than a wild card, or just like if Doug doesn't take back plays and they miss the playoffs, like I think he's kind of gonzo.
I guess that's the thing we should talk about, right?
Right.
It's kind of crazy.
I'm segueing it into that.
It's June 27th and we're still talking about who's going to call plays for the Jaguars. Nobody was talking about it last offseason. Yeah, I think everybody just assumed it was still going to be Doug Peterson.
Yeah, and then Russ Taylor's agent drops the bombshell on the morning of the season opener.
Yeah,
that was crazy. Even at the time, it was crazy.
That's making it in the book. And the fact that they went out and weren't that good against the Colts on offense that day, it was like, all right.
Yeah, I think that one in the chamber, whoever did. 24 or something like that.
Yeah, whoever did release that probably could have kept that one in the chamber. All right, so ignoring the insane fact that we're now still talking about who the Jaguars play caller might be roughly 70-something days before they
We're not just talking about the play calling situation. We're asking who is the play caller. It's not clear to anyone.
Yeah, no, it's not. Doug Peterson has deferred, you know, the answer when asked press conferences. He, of course, made it open at the combine. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but more or less said that it's something that he would consider. You know, I probably shouldn't have the full quote, so I'll pick it up once Gus picks up on this sentence riff. But more or less, Doug has implied that it's not a sure thing that Press Taylor is going to return as the full-time play caller next year. Now, I think it's a more complicated discussion than people think, because it is true that Press Taylor definitely called plays in 2022. You know, for people, I've seen like fans say like that they don't believe that and they think that's just like team spin and something. But no, it's 100% true. Press Taylor called plays during games in 2022. Doug Peterson also did. So there's definitely some context to it as to, you know, last year, how much of a change was it actually for Press Taylor calling all the plays? How much of it is still Doug Peterson's offense? Obviously, he still has his fingerprints all over it. I think it's a question of, does it make Doug Peterson a better coach if he can coach the entire team? But then again, you hired Ryan Nielsen, who Shotgun said yesterday was their number one target, and, you know, called him excellent and everything. I don't think you hire Ryan Nielsen to babysit him. You know, I mean, he's coordinated a defense before. It's not like he's a first or second year coordinator like, you know, Mike Caldwell was. So definitely a lot of questions and no answers as to this point. And everybody has an opinion on it, obviously. Most opinions probably private. You know, team's never going to go ahead and air its dirty laundry out there. But Shotgun got asked on the record about it yesterday. And, you know, he asked if he had an opinion or, you know, a preference between Doug and Press Taylor. And he said, yeah, I have an opinion. kind of left it at that. Didn't obviously reveal the opinion. And, you know, he said it was similar to his answer earlier on Trevor Lawrence extension. You know, he had said that he had been comfortable with paying Trevor a long time ago, but he kept that opinion to himself. He wasn't telling Trent and Doug, like, get him paid and stuff. He said that he wanted them to tell him that they wanted to pay Trevor just to make sure everybody was on board. He said it's similar to that. You know, he has an opinion, but certainly seems like he's keeping himself. He said, I don't want to tell people we need to do it because then things don't work out. They look at me and said, we did it because you wanted it. And then, you know, went on to say, Doug, he's empowered. I'm going to let him decide. So whoever call plays in 2024, it's Doug Peterson's decision. I think that is clear, right? It's not coming from ownership. It's not coming from an office. Whoever calls plays, it is 100% at the feet of Doug Peterson.
So that's why I think that Peterson could be risking his job if the team doesn't have great success this season and he's not calling plays. Because if he's not calling plays, it's like, what exactly are you doing around here? Because, like, you were just talking about how Nielsen is, like, he coordinated a defense last year. He definitely has, like, kind of the aura or the personality, it seems, to kind of, like, command that side of the ball and be able to take care of that side of the ball, which wasn't necessarily true for the entire course of the season last year. And so if Peterson doesn't have to worry about the defense anymore and he's not as worried about the offense because he's not the play caller and the Jags still miss the playoffs, then it's like, why should we still let you be in charge here?
Yeah, 100%. And here's that Peterson quote from the combine. One of the most important quotes, I think, of the offseason, obviously. He was asked about play calling, and he said, I think those are things that I need to – and mind you, again, this is the combine. This is way back in February, early March, etc. He said, I think those are things that I need to, you know, consider this offseason in the spring. You know, there are things out of my control that I had to deal with more, you know, the last year that takes you away from some of that stuff. He didn't get into any of what that was. He said, and not going to get into those, but, you know, so, yeah, it's something that I have to, as part of the evaluation process, I have to evaluate, you know, myself and press as decision makers and play callers and see what's best for our team. So that's the moment the door is kind of open for even the possibility of somebody else calling plays. And when, you know, like you said, when Shad says that he's going to, you know, empower Doug, he's going to let Doug decide. I think it's probably the right move as an owner to an extent. Like, you want to micromanage in some aspects, but it's also, I don't know, if I was in his shoes, if I feel like I have to tell somebody to do something, then what, you know, what are you really paying him to do? You know, you can just hire somebody else to tell them, you know, to do something without, you know, having that make them actually want to do it. So I completely understand, you know, Shad wanting to, as he said, empower Doug. That makes it, though, you know, Doug's 100% responsibility, which it really does seem similar to, you know, the Eagles situation. And there's arguments, I think, to make, you know, for both sides. I think Press Taylor both wasn't as good as a play caller as Doug Peterson, and also probably isn't the sole reason, or maybe even the biggest reason, the offense was worse last year. I think that there were a ton of contributing factors, and that was one of them. How you want to weigh them, you know, injuries, offensive line, etc. Then again, when you make offensive line t-shirts, you kind of put your hand in the pot of, you know, how successful the offensive line is. So I understand if, you know, maybe it's not seen as Press was that bad last year to an extent, but also I think Doug was hired for two reasons, and that to me was to develop Trevor Lawrence and to call plays. You know, that was part of the magic in Philadelphia. I mean, he got Nick Foles to play good football. That Nick Foles career aged exactly how everybody thought it would, where it's clear that dude just got super hot at a random time. It was a shooting star, nothing more, you know, nothing less. It was Haley's comment.
They were converting like third and longs at like a crazy high clip. It wasn't sustainable.
And there were a lot of different reasons for it. And Peterson's play calling was definitely an impact. But there are also things, I think, even when you're evaluating Peterson as a play caller, I think maybe there are some things in Philadelphia that maybe Jacksonville doesn't have. I think the biggest difference still is the offensive line. I mean, Philadelphia had not only an elite offensive line, but Jeff Stoutland, you know. So compared to what they've been with in Jacksonville, I think that's been probably the biggest difference between his approach outside of the press, obviously getting a little bit more influence.
Right. I think Peterson sees himself as more of a culture guy than like almost anyone else does. Cause I think pretty much everyone is on the same page as you, where it's like, he was hired to like develop Trevor and to call plays. And so like his decision for the season in terms of who's calling plays seems kind of obvious from the outside. It's like, dude, clearly you're good at play calling and clearly that's what you're hired to do. So just like suck it up and do it and lead the Jaguars to a deep playoff run. But I think he kind of wants to be his dad. I mean, his mentor in Andy Reid, where like Reid isn't calling plays in Kansas City and he's more of like just a hub of genius offensive ideas that he like shares with his staff and his offense coordinator and his play caller. And then he's also honestly like more of a culture setter than probably a lot of people are willing to let on. And rightfully so for this, but people see Reid as like a genius offensive mastermind, which is true. But he's also just a great head coach and like CEO type. And so I think Peterson is trying to get more towards that, where he can kind of like set the culture. And like, that's the reason why he was hired. It was like to develop Trevor because he's a former quarterback and an offensive guy, but then also to set the culture. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that's what he tries to do and the path that he ends up choosing to take and just rides with Press Taylor, even if it's his undoing.
Yeah, no, I think that's completely fair. To his credit, yeah, everything I've heard from Peterson, talking to people on the team, players on the team, players who used to be with the team, is that he is a good culture coach. You know, he really is. You know, players generally do like him. Players generally do like playing for him. I mean, I'm pretty sure Andy Reid did the same thing with Doug when Doug was the offensive coordinator in Philly. Andy Reid called plays sometimes. Doug called plays sometimes. So it's not that different from, you know, what he was taught. So maybe it shouldn't be as big of a surprise. All right, right before we get to an ad, give me your prediction right now. Who is calling offensive plays? Who is putting the play in Trevor's ear week one against
Press Taylor.
The Dolphins? Press Taylor?
I'm like 80% sure Press Taylor. How are you feeling?
Well, I have to say Doug Peterson just to disagree with you on the chance. I'm saying Doug Peterson on that merit and also on the merit that, I don't know, if the owner's publicly saying it's your choice, but you better be right. I don't know. Maybe that would make me, if I was them, kind of feel like, you know, maybe you do kind of got to let yourself determine how the season goes. So
yes, the decision also kind of comes down to like how big of a leash he thinks he has, because if he feels like the pressure is really like coming down on him and he can feel like Shad Khan and Ryan Nielsen's breath down his back, then like maybe he'll end up making the switch if he's thinks he actually has a limited time and is actually on a hot seat. But if he's like, if these are just kind of like overblown by us a little bit because it's the off season, I don't know, maybe, probably not, but
The New York Times article Shad mentioned in the quote, if you ever see it, from The Athletic, it was Randy Moore's article on it. You can go out and read it, the last sentence. And you can obviously, though, if it resonated with the owner, it's probably a pretty big deal and probably kind of crazy that we're still talking about it at this point. But with that said, we're going to cut for a quick ad. We'll grab that. All right, guys, we're back. Next big Shad topic that we're going to talk about. And yeah, this is a Shad heavy podcast, but he's the most important face and name of the Jaguars. You know, he's the owner. He's, you know, the boss. You know, he's that guy. You know, so when he speaks publicly, it's notable, you know, especially since, you know, he hasn't spoken, you know, publicly before this in, you know, a little bit. It's important to get his perspective on things. And one of the big things that he was asked about for the first time in public was the end to the 2023 season. And I'll say it, Gus, he didn't seem happy. He didn't seem thrilled. Yeah. Yeah, he seemed, I think, relatively disgusted would probably be the best like way to put it. Yeah, he got asked, you know, what are his thoughts on why it happened, etc. He said, "You win as an organization, you fail as an organization." Okay, so I mean, I look at it as an organizational failure. He talked about injuries and mentioned how even, you know, before that point, before everything went to hell, they were actually doing pretty decent on the injury front. But he said, I mean, obviously, Trevor, we had some of these injuries, but I think it's organizational failure that happened. And it's when we talk to the players, I mean, Trevor, Josh, Allen, all these players I talk to, it's like, how could this happen? What happened? But for me, it's really a cause for self-reflection and then something good come out of it, because we just can't have that this year. And he was asked about it again at a different point. And he said, I mean, again, personally, for me to not be able to win two out of the last six games, it still stinks. Even though the season's over, it's like I still can't believe we couldn't do it. And so when you talk to the players, you talk to the coaches, it's been about why did this happen? More importantly, what are we doing so it never happens? And that is really, you talk about growth in a football team. If this had happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you'd be patting yourself on the back. He's referencing going, you know, 9-8. Mm-hmm. I mean, now it's like, yes, you want to have a winning season, but I think we want to be in the playoffs. You want to be in the playoffs every year. I think outside of the play calling comment, that was probably the biggest, you know, statement, you know, he had made that, you know, he was relatively upset and disgusted with what happened last year. He didn't make any excuses for it, so it didn't seem like he would think there are any excuses for it. And that the expectation after that is, one, that doesn't happen ever again, but two, that you now make, like, that was your mulligan, you know, like, you can make the playoffs every year. It really seems like it was like, all right, that was the year for at least this regime. It's like, all right, that's, you get one, you know.
Yeah, you get one year where you can call injuries as an excuse, and that's it. Because it's really a good reminder of how embarrassing the collapse was. Like, it's not like it just ended on a sour note, as I said earlier, but they were about to lock up the number one seed in like week 12 or 13 and be well on their way to not just a playoff berth, but like looking like they could make a deep run in the playoffs. And then all of a sudden one or two injuries happen and it's just a total collapse, and the type of collapse that isn't just because of one or two injuries, even if they were the very important offensive players. And so, I mean, what was your takeaway from it? Just like, that's a fair response. Yeah, that's kind of what I expected.
I think if you're somebody who cares about whether the Jaguars win or not, that's probably the response you want to hear from the owner, right? Like,
yeah,
that he's particularly upset. I think it would have been a fair argument to make that the Jaguars have been so crappy under Shad Khan. What if he actually is okay with, you know, back-to-back 9-8 seasons? And I think he emphatically said yesterday that he's not. You know, he said if the 9-8 happened 5 or 10 years ago, you'd be like, hell yeah, brother. Like, it would have been awesome, but he doesn't see it as that anymore. Like, these were, in the time I've been covering them, hearing his public remarks, like the highest expectations I've seen him publicly state and openly say, you know, these are what the expectations are. I didn't hear that in 2019. I didn't hear that when Doug Marrone, you know, got retained. Obviously, they talk about building a championship team, but the owner's not saying make the playoffs this year, or, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge in any other time. He didn't say it with Urban. Didn't say it, you know, with Doug. Didn't have to say it last year because they had made the playoffs, obviously. But I don't think any pressure was on Doug Peterson in 2022 to make the playoffs, right? I feel like if they went 9-8 in 2022, it would have been relatively cool, right? Yeah. Woo-hoo. They didn't go 9-8 in 2022. What
else? Yeah, I think another thing that makes it interesting is that, like, Shad is probably kind of known as, like, a hands-off owner, which, like, is more so compared to, like, David Tepper. He's a hands-off owner because he's not micromanaging, and he kind of, like, has been known to, like, let some executives and coaches maybe stay on the leash a little bit longer than he should have. But, like, I think the quote is just a good way of showing, like, how much he cares about the team. And, like, obviously he cares because of this huge new stadium that's getting renovated, but he's also getting, like, I don't know, he's investing his own money into it and getting his own money out of it. But And clearly that also has to do with like how he cares about the success of the team. But I don't know. It's good to see how much he does care about the success, and like good to see that like just because he's more hands off than Chad or hands off than David Tepper, and a little bit maybe more slow paced than other owners. Like, I'd rather not have an owner that's like happy or has a happy trigger with like firing GMs and coaches year after year after year, because I feel like that's probably a little bit less effective of a way to try to actually build up an organization.
And he spoke yesterday about how he wanted to like avoid the churn. You know, that's what he kept calling it, of, you know, people in and out. And, you know, he's obviously been patient, super patient with Gus Bradley, probably overly so in that case. Dave Caldwell was around a long time, pretty patient with Doug Marrone. Tom Coughlin was even, you know, probably a little too patient with him. He said yesterday, I don't have the exact quote, but he was like, he said, sometimes you do have to micromanage in the aspect of, you know, you're the head coach, you coach, you're the general manager, you general manager. I think that was more of a, I think maybe him growing from the Tom debacle after 2017, where Tom was not just general managing the team. Tom was more or less like coaching, you know, the team. Like, dude, there'd be times I'd go out there in the 2019 season, and Tom's just right there in the middle of the field, just orchestrating. Dude.
Just barking at players.
Yeah, man. It's, oh, you want to talk about something? Tom's out there, you know, like, it was a surreal sight, you know, every time you saw him. I felt like every time he walked onto the field, he was, what's the word? Like, emasculating? Is that the word?
You just, like, have a presence about you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he kind of sucked the energy and, I think, impact of Doug Marrone off the field. I think maybe that's what he was kind of referring to. I don't know. I think you've seen some growth from, like, Schaub since. Like, I don't think Schaub now would hire, say, Tom Coughlin again, you know? But then again, he hired Urban Meyer a couple years ago, so was quick to realize from that mistake, but was certainly a mistake. I mean, so from everything he said, so that's like a couple of different quotes now about playoffs and winning. Like, this year, the expectations are definitely higher, I'd say, internally than anybody nationally has for them, right?
Absolutely. It's funny what recency bias can do. Like, I guess even after the Jaguars is like nice end to the season 2022, and when they win the playoff game against the Chargers, like, teams were kind of saying, or national media was kind of saying, oh, Trevor Lawrence could be a sleeper MVP, the Jaguars could be like a sleepy contender, but no one was really like truly giving them props. But at the same time, like, people were still like optimistic about them and still like talking about them. And now on the flip side this year, like, it's just like they're just one of those teams like in no man's land where they're not so bad that people care about talking about like the future of the organization and their draft picks, but they definitely don't see them either as being good enough to talk about as real contenders. And as you're saying, inside the building, that is absolutely the expectation.
Yeah, it 100% is. So it will be interesting to see what happens when/if expectations are or are not met. I think definitely one of the more important Jaguar seasons in a long time, right? Definitely seems like there's a lot riding on it just in terms of how the organization is shaped and how it's led.
I was thinking earlier, would you say this is the biggest offseason in franchise history just between these three deals, the stadium, Trevor Lawrence, and Josh Allen? Because, like, I don't know. It's easy to get, like, caught up in free agency and caught up in the draft and that kind of stuff. But, like those are just three major chunks of news.
It's what, this, the first season, and – probably 2021.
Yeah, like
maybe one of the Del Rio seasons.
The only thing that'd be comparable would just be like to like 1993 or 1995, whichever you want to call it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, this is far and away, I think, the biggest offseason they've had from like a historical standpoint. And it really is like, all right, we have nice things now, you know, like try to not ruin them. I mean, it really seems like that's what Shad's more or less kind of saying, you know, like, I don't know. Do you see all of this happening if they were still the hapless Gus Bradley Jaguars?
No, probably not. Yeah. I feel like Trevor Lawrence changed everything. If they got Zach Wilson or Justin Fields. Like, even if they got Justin Fields and Justin Fields turned out to be like an alternate Pro Bowl caliber player, the way that Lawrence is, like, I feel like that's a big difference. Yeah. Like, Lawrence kind of put them in the national spotlight. And like, I was telling someone the other day, I feel like the only reason that you would be a Jags fan other than like your family or where you're from is because you like their colors. And a lot of people think that the Jags have cool jerseys. And so now, like, I think there's probably a fair amount of people who are actually Jags fans because of Trevor Lawrence. And that's a really big deal. Just like the amount of attention that Jacksonville gets because of him now. And so I think that's one of the biggest reasons why this happened.
Yeah.
More so, I mean, it was not the coaching change or something like that.
There's obviously leverage, I think, for the stadium deal. Like, you know, you can say, hey, this team, you know, whether it's here or elsewhere, has Trevor Lawrence signed through 2030. If you want to be the team that has Trevor Lawrence, you know, more or less vote on this. I definitely think Trevor Lawrence is, you know, definitely one of the big factors. They were obviously – I think Mark Lamping said they've been working on this stadium deal since 2016. So they were working on this far before Trevor Lawrence became the quarterback.
Right.
For the record, per the Justin Fields comment on that same universe, I get drafted one spot after Zach Edey in the NBA draft. Fields just isn't good. I whiffed. I had him right below Trevor. I whiffed. He sucks. He sucks, guys. I don't think he can play. With that said, I agree with you. Me and Connor Orr, you know, co-wrote a story in 2021 before Trevor was drafted. And it was like, how does Trevor Lawrence change Jacksonville? How does Jacksonville change Trevor Lawrence, et cetera? And he really has been like that kind of defining, I think, national type of athlete to where he's made an impact, I think, on their future and the fact that they are staying. So I definitely agree with you. I definitely think if, you know, Kenny Pickett was their quarterback right now, maybe you get more than one. You know, maybe it still passes. Maybe you get more than one no vote.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's probably a fair way to put it. Especially, I think it's a fair point to bring up that the Jags and Lamping like started doing research on stadium renovations pre-Trevor, and so like I definitely wasn't trying to say that it's because of Trevor at all. It's just it was definitely a help though. I don't know if I told this story before, but a couple months ago, one of my coworkers at 1010 brought their kid into the office, and he had like long blonde hair, and someone asked why he had it, and he said Trevor Lawrence, and it like gave me some chills, honestly, just because it's pretty cool that like so many kids are able to look up from him from this area. And I was saying earlier that it didn't hit me until yesterday like how big this stadium news is for two reasons. And so the second reason is because I'm only 25, so like the Jaguars have been around in Jacksonville for as long as I've been alive, and so like I just don't really have like the same feelings that other people who have been in town as much or for twice as long as I have had of not having an NFL team, because it's always been reality for me. And so then to like hear people call into the radio and kind of celebrate keeping the team for like another 30 years and celebrating kind of in the same way that they did in 93 when the team was first rewarded to Jacksonville, it kind of hit me like how big of a deal it is. It's like especially a small market, but our market too. So it was, highlight of the offseason for sure.
Yeah, no, it's a major deal. You're only 25. I hate that.
Yeah.
Every time I hear how old you are, I hate it. I turn 28 tomorrow.
Happy early birthday, John.
Thanks. That was enthusiastic. Did you get me anything?
Huh?
Did you get me anything?
No. What if I told you my birthday was last week?
Didn't I tell you happy birthday?
I mean anything. I still got time to get you something though. Maybe I'll send a little something your way.
Don't do that. I'm not getting you anything.
Hey, I showed up for 107 episodes. That's my gift to you.
There we go. We're slightly probably gassing that number to an extent. It's probably I don't even know. I think one day I just picked a number that we had and we just started counting from there. It's good stuff. All right. We're going to do one more quick ad, come back for one more topic, and then we are out of here. All right, guess we're the last topic of the day. Talking Trevor Lawrence, Shad Khan. Chuck gave out a statement, obviously, when they paid Trevor, but yesterday was his first chance to really talk publicly on the deal. And, you know, I wish we could make an outtakes for our fans. Maybe that's something we can produce one day. I just gave an entire spiel and read an entire, quote, and we were paused the entire time. So we're back to the final topic. Shad Khan talked Trevor Lawrence yesterday. He obviously gave a statement when Trevor got paid. This was his first time speaking publicly on the contract. He said he thinks he represents the city, represents the Jaguars. Couldn't ask for anyone better. He was hoping the deal would get done before the stadium did, and it did, obviously, by a couple weeks. But he gave an answer later when speaking to the local media. I thought kind of reinforced, maybe kind of shows you why he's doing what he's doing with the play calling decision also. He was asked when he was comfortable committing to Trevor Lawrence and more or less making him one of the highest paid quarterbacks. He said, and I quote, "I was comfortable to committing to a long time ago, and I told him that, but it's not my decision. I think these aren't things I want to impose. I want the coaches to believe that. I want GM, the personnel people to believe that and really be vested in it. So I think I am sharing that with you today because it's a done deal, but I didn't tip my hand to any of these people today, told me why they were sold on Trevor. From Doug Peterson to the coaching staff all the way. I mean, our quarterback coach here had worked with some of the greatest quarterbacks and Trent, obviously. So I listened to all that stuff. I kind of reinforced some of it. But I mean, I'm telling you this from the very first time. I mean, this was from COVID. I met him on Zoom and there was a lot of noise and some of the background stuff. And I mean, he was steadfast. And he told me then the very first time he only had one goal in life, that whoever drafts him, he'd like to finish his career there. It's pretty cool. And I mean, they're a big part of the community. And I mean, as I said earlier, him, Josh Allen, some of these players, I mean, the DNA is kind of woven into the city and that's what you want. I mean, now they got to win, but the rest of this stuff is all really important." So it's shot again. I think maybe that's his version of obviously saying what he said earlier, which the direct comments, the kind of Doug semi about the play calling. Maybe this was, the direct comment, if I'm not reading too much into it. Love Trevor. He's awesome. Good contract. He's great in the community, but now it's time to start winning. Is that too much interpretation? Like, Shad's always obviously been a super big Trevor fan. That's the one thing every NFL owner wants, is like that guy at quarterback, that you can build not only the franchise around, but you can build your brand around. And Trevor's obviously been, a big piece of the Jaguars. Shad saying that, I think Shad was probably comfortable with paying Trevor after the Urban Meyer year. I honestly, even after how bad his rookie year went, I think Shad more or less, like, if he was able to, he would have given him a contract then. Mm-hmm. Just because I think, just knowing how some of Shad's past moves, he sees the press clippings and stuff. I think he's always been sold.
Yeah, that was like the most impressive part of Lawrence's rookie season, was like how he dealt with that storm, kind of, especially in the press. Like, Shad was talking about how he was steadfast over the Zoom, and Lawrence was certainly steadfast over like post-game media availabilities, even after a brutal loss, or after like the Urban firing or the Jason Lambeau news or any of it. Jason Lambeau, Josh Lambeau. I usually don't even catch myself on those. I just keep going.
He acts like a Jason.
Yeah. So, I think clearly Shad has been a big fan of like Trevor the person for a long time since they met over Zoom. Like, the fact that Shad has had this belief in him since Lawrence even suited up in his team's uniform is pretty cool. And even cooler is Lawrence's quote saying, "My one goal in life, not just in my career, but in life, is to finish my career with the team I started with," is a pretty badass line.
Yeah, no. And honestly, maybe you can even look to the night he fired Urban, as that's the night he officially kind of tied himself to Trevor for the foreseeable future. You don't fire your coach that quickly if the guy at quarterback isn't on board, for one, obviously. But I mean, Urban, obviously, I can assume, would be pleading for a second year. You don't fire him unless, like, you're wanting to make sure nothing happens to ruin the team's relationship with the quarterback, right? Like, it seems somewhat like it at that point when it happened. Like, they were firing him to, like, the worst thing that happened to the Jaguars on the field as an organization in the last couple of years, which Jalen Ramsey asking out of Jacksonville. They obviously didn't want a repeat of that. So it certainly seems like they got in front of that speeding bullet.
For sure. That's a good point.
Yeah. So it definitely, I think also, like I said, kind of maybe goes back to the play calling thing, which, how much of what he said you want to believe is completely obviously up to you. maybe he did say to them, like Trent Baalke years ago, like, you know, you're going to pay Trevor Lawrence eventually. But I think maybe that kind of shows you the kind of manager he is, where like he lets the people he's hired do their jobs. You know, that's always been one constant with him, sometimes to too much of a degree. When he said Tom Coughlin, you're handling football operations, he handled them. He sure handled them. He sure let them. So he definitely, you know, sometimes probably have his hand, you know, on the trigger a little quicker. The other great line he had, I don't have it transcribed out. I haven't written it yet, but he said something. He's like, he's gotten good at figuring out which guys are bullshitting. And he said bullshitting. And he's even kept an internal like list of all the guys. He said, I think it was 13 that they interviewed in 2022. And he's given a list like to see how they've been doing to basically gauge, you know, how he felt then. Because some of the guys, you know, maybe he's like, oh, this guy coming out of an interview was a BSer. And that guy, maybe if he flamed out, you know, probably was a good judgment call. Not to say that that could have happened to anybody who is now the offensive coordinator of the New York Jets and the former head coach. I was thinking that too. He didn't name names. I'm not saying it's Nathaniel Hackett. I think Nathaniel Hackett's a bullshit.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was definitely Nathaniel Hackett.
Do you think he said an anchorman?
He wrote his name twice. Nathaniel Hackett is down twice of the 13 names on the bullshit list.
Ah, man. It was a good, solid coordinator in Jacksonville. It's just it was just clear from some of those videos that that Denver thing wasn't gonna, like Sean Payton wasn't necessarily wrong either, like in his comments. But with that said, Gus, you got anything else? I know we're planning on being back. We're going to record next Tuesday, obviously for the holiday, 4th of July. I'm going to take Gus to the beach, watch him make a sandcastle, frolic for the first time. Yeah, Gus, you got anything else?
It's a celebration. Yeah. I was thinking this morning, if I like started doing stand-up comedy, the first bit that I would write would be about a dental hygienist talking to you as he or she is cleaning your teeth, because that's what happens to me every time I go to the dentist. It's so annoying. She even talks football about with me because she knows that like that's where the area that I work in. And so she's like, yeah, I saw the Jags paid Trevor Lawrence a lot of money. I don't know if I would have done that. Meanwhile, like there's tools in my mouth. So like argue. Like, I'm just like, uh-huh. It's like, at least ask me yes or no questions so I can say uh-huh or uh-uh. All these answers at 8 a.m. with, yeah, so.
That was good.
That's all I've got.
I have a friend, close friend from high school. It was actually a groomsman in my wedding who's a stand-up comedian in Jacksonville. I've given him a joke or two. Yeah. I'm not a performer, but I've given him the joke or two.
I've gone to one or two like comedy shows in New York City, and every time I go, or the one or two times I've gone, I'm like, I could do this. I could go back to Jacksonville and like write something and go on a stage. But then
let's go to open mic.
I feel like, yeah, maybe for episode 150 or for your 30th, one of the two, whichever.
If I beat you in the next competition, whatever that we do, it won't be a poll, since evidently my dedication to my job for 5 years has made it.
Well, you're so much older than me, so you've had more time to work. Yeah.
All right, so if I win the next competition, you have to do an open mic for episode 150.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like an open mic on this channel.
Or an open mic that I can upload to this channel. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And I want Jaguars-related jokes.
You have to go to like a comedy show in Jacksonville.
Oh, I can find an open mic for you.
No, but
my buddy knows the Jacksonville
scene. Better punishment is if I just sit here for 10 minutes and try to write some jokes. So that, yeah, that's
You can do that. You can do that instead. That's actually
That was your offer.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
The next one, we got to think of like a good contest. It can't just be like...
Yeah.
It can't just be the next one we do, but we'll do it. We'll set up something for sure, like this off season before training. I won't let it delay that long.
Do you want another joke I gave him?
Yeah.
How do you think the other kids in the orphanage felt in Stuart Little when they saw a little rat go to a family instead of them?
Probably happy to get rid of him.
Yeah, good point. I hated him. I hate him, and I hate Garfield. Find my letterbox. Mm-hmm. I can't repeat my review on here. Look up my review for letterbox for Garfield, and that's how I feel.
I mean, it was worse. The orphan who got a rat picked over them, or the kid who, like, the brother that Stuart Little got when he moved into the new house. It's like, I'm an only child. I, like, get all this love from my parents, and now, like, you're giving all your attention to this rat?
He was complacent. He loved that rat by the end of the movie. He was complacent. He gets no love from me. His hands are dirty, my friend.
No, that's
he
like...
He didn't put his foot down and say, they're eating rocks over there. Why can't we have one of them instead of this dude who can catch vermin?
It's like whatever that term is when you start, like, taking sides with whoever your captor is. He
Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah, it was Stockholm Syndrome.
I think you're experiencing a little bit of that.
Maybe. All right, well... We'll come up with – first, we got to come up with a good contest, and then we'll have to come up with some good jokes. All right, is the punishment the same thing for you, or is it only if I lose I'm doing the same thing? Are you doing something different?
Why am I being punished?
Well, what happens –
Yeah.
You don't have to do the same thing, but you have to do something.
Okay.
I did like the punishment you came up with a while ago of having to wear a Hawaiian shirt to the next presser. Another Jaguars media member. That was a pretty good one. We got to bring that back. I ended up not losing on that one.
Did I win?
Well, I guess you just turned the tables on me and I wasn't thinking, and you just made it a bet about me where I didn't win anything. It was just I'll potentially lose something, but I ended up not losing that thing. So we'll have to bring that back as a punishment.
Can you still do it?
Well, we're going to make it a punishment. Well, that'll be the next contest. It'll be a smaller contest.
All right. Well, we'll be back on Tuesday.
No, it'll be a good offseason.
Yeah, that it will be. We'll be back on Tuesday while we obviously celebrate 4th of July. Thank you guys for rocking with us, as always. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter, not X. Find us at Big Cat Country, find us at Jaguars SI, Jaguars on SI, whatever you want to call it. You know where to find me, since evidently so many of you follow me, and it's a crime. Thank you, guys.
It's popular over here.
Well, maybe it's because I put my at in my name, and you're just Gus Logue over here. You want what do you want them to do? Go find a.
Oh, I didn't realize that. You know,
yeah.
I swear I had this set up a while ago, and then it must have just changed. I bet I could do it right now, though. You know
what? No, don't do it now. We'll be back on Tuesday, our next episode. Thank you guys again. Don't forget to subscribe. John Shipley, my friend, co-host, Gus Logue. Gus, you got anything to say on the way out?
See you Tuesday.
See you Tuesday, buddy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.